to that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Boomski.
How, I mean, like, is there a more douchey thing to say?
Boomski. Welcome to the show. We're going to talk about football. Boomski.
Speaking of that, I've been watching Succession. Are you into the show yet?
Nope.
Oh my God. It's all about douchebags who run a business in New York. They're like Uber.
They should just call it Douchebags. It's a great name for it. D-Bags, the show.
Yeah, it's you might like it actually, because I think I have a theory. I haven't researched this yet, but my theory is that the show is based on some specific Shakespearean play. And possibly, do you remember that series of plays called Ubu Roy, Ubu Ra?
Yes. Yeah. Never really knew them, but I know the names.
Yeah. I don't know it that well either, but they're all just like pieces about, you know, wealthy families, royalty, the dad is the king and the prince and the son, and everybody's trying to overthrow everybody. And it's like every Shakespeare play, but it's set in modern Wall Street-ish. Huh. Business landscape. And so you get a lot of like, you know, dude, let's like take over dad's seat on the board. What do you think? Fuck you, bro. Like that kind of language. And I fucking eat it up. I love it. It's like so toxic masculinity in a way that's like satisfying to watch as theater, where you're able to sit away from it and go, these bitches are fucked up. And not have to be like in it. You know what I'm saying? Like when it's happening in life, you're like, get me out of this room. But when you watch it on TV, sometimes it's like, yeah, that's horrible. That horrible aspect of humanity over there.
I can judge it from a distance.
Yeah. Hey, does it matter that there's a real delay? Do we care?
It means that the video is a little delayed, but I can turn off my video and turn it back on, which is sometimes helps.
Okay. I'll do difficult Desmond edit noises while you're doing that.
Great.
You're making a joke right now?
I'm just kidding. As. Whatever.
All right.
Just don't look at me.
Don't look at me.
Don't look at me.
Yes. I think we've started. Have we started?
Oh, we started. I think douchebag talk was the beginning. I would like Desmond to include the douchebag talk. Oh my gosh. I also had like an argument, a second argument with new guy. We're like a month in and we've had two arguments and it feels terrible.
Well, I mean, a couple of episodes ago, we were talking about how that's hot, right? How sometimes that fire fight, knife fight on the dining room table followed by sex on the floor. That's not what you're going for, though. I'm sorry to discount the actual pain you're experiencing.
No. It's not that. I wish it were that. It's not that. It's never, ever been that for me. It's like when... shitty argument. I mean, I will say this. Actually, yeah, now that I think about it, I feel closer to him than I've ever felt right now because we made up and my heart is all blown open and raw. You know that way that like when you have an uncomfortable interaction, it's like you're all blown open too wide. You ever get that feeling?
Yeah, absolutely. Not, I don't know about the too wide, but I've experienced the like, that was awful. And I feel much closer to you now because it was so awful.
Yeah. So, but of course he's 2 hours away. So we were like lamenting how we can't hug. And then there's like the aspect of like, yeah, there's a lot, I'm not going to get too into it, but anyway, the topic of like what happens in arguments with people and then the rawness afterwards is kind of what I was pointing at. It's just like, ow. Yeah. It's not even ow. It's like, it's almost like the heart muscle gets stretched too wide. Like if you were to take a big fat deuce.
I know it was going there. We can't get away from it, Katie.
I mean,
you've been watching
too
much Big Mouth.
I do have the power of choice. I could get away from it, but I don't want to.
Then don't. I think we might be weeding out some listeners. Like at some point, they'd be like three, four weeks now, just deuce talk. But you know what? If you don't want to listen to that, then you don't want to listen to me, frankly.
Listen, that's
if this is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Exactly. I mean, do you remember when I first came to you with what the podcast was going to be? I was like, it's going to be very Katie Rubin. It's going to be poop and, you know, woo woo and, you know, God and piss or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Heart and fart.
Heart and fart, bro. We should have called it heart and fart. Yeah. I have the crackly Cassidy sounds.
Really? Damn it. Except it sounds great on my recording.
Not now.
Better now?
Those headphones.
Yeah, I don't know.
Crackly noises, crackly sounds, crackly noises dragging us down. Crackly noises singing a song, crackly noises stringing you along. Crackly noises, crackly noises, crackly noises, crackly noises. Thank you.
All right, we're just going to start everything all completely over.
But I like some of this content, so let's not throw it away.
Okay, let's start again.
Recording.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? So you want to know what I've been doing the last few days?
Sure.
I'm going to tell you.
Yep.
So on Sunday, I went to a hangout, like a backyard distanced, masked fire pit birthday party for a friend of mine.
Cuddle party?
Not a cuddle party. Here's the thing. Like there was, you know, I was distanced, everything, but still. And then on Tuesday, we found out that one of the people who was hosting actually tested positive for the old C-19.
No.
And she can't figure out how the fuck she was exposed because she's been insanely careful and everything. So it's like, I don't know. So theoretically, I was exposed, you know, masked and distanced. So then, you know, I called my doctor and asked him, and he was like, yeah, I mean, your exposure is incredibly low, but if you can and want to, here's what you should do.
Yeah.
So I've isolated from my housemates for the most part for the last several days. You know, like I just, you know, like if I go into the dining room and people are there because I want to cook dinner, I'll like mask up. And I've just kind of been hanging out in my room and my sort of work room as my dirty rooms, as it were. So that's just been an interesting few days.
What about getting a test?
Got one this morning. So nice. They don't want you to get the test until at least 4 or 5 days after exposure because it won't show up.
Oh.
So since I was exposed on Sunday, possibly I got a test today, this morning, and I won't find out for another 3 or 4 days because it's not an emergency, so they don't rush it. Ugh. And in the meantime, I'm just isolating. The person who tested positive is completely symptom free.
Wow.
As is her husband. I don't know if he's gotten, I know he got tested, but I don't know if he's gotten a result yet.
So. Did I tell you the thing about how on this point about a friend of mine and her husband went on a retreaty, something, something. He tested positive. Wait, she tested positive and had zero symptoms. He was sick as a dog in his lungs, couldn't breathe and tested negative.
So he got a false negative for sure. I mean, that's possible, but
I just
still.
Throw my hands up. I don't know what the fuck happened.
Yeah, everything we do is mitigation. It's not like nothing is all the way anything. It's all just mitigation, lowering numbers. But individuals, we all have a totally different experience as to what's actually happening.
Well, I mean, and also like if the tests are like inaccurate, it's extra hard to like know what the fuck reality is. I personally have the hardest time with that test. I've had three of them. It makes everything in my body hurt. Getting that thing up in your fucking nose. Oh my God.
Well, now they're just doing at least for me, the last several that I've had, because I've had a bunch recently because I was doing some background work for films.
Yeah.
So you get tested like crazy.
Yeah.
Going into that. They're just doing the swab, like just to the nostril. They're just swabbing the hell out of your nostril, which actually to me feels really good. Like I feel cleaned out.
Super down for that. Clean the shit out of my nostril. Don't fucking touch my brain though with that goddamn long fucking thing.
I don't know that. Have you had one recently? Because I think they've stopped doing the brain
dude, like a week ago.
Really?
Yeah.
It's different everywhere you go. I'm sorry.
Anyway.
So that's what I've been doing, but I don't mind it. I'm kind of enjoying it. I can still do my work. You know, I'm doing the podcast I record. I'm in my own room. I'm doing the work where I'm leading teams on virtual scavenger hunts and stuff, doing that work. And that's a lot of fun.
That's great.
That's just from my computer. So yeah, it's not a huge imposition. It just screws up my meals, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And your social time, you know, I was thinking about it and people keep saying how are people dating in Corona? And God, I miss dating or like sex with nobody. I haven't hugged anyone in months. And I'm like, I have.
Well, you've been doing a thing that I think some people aren't comfortable doing.
Right. I'm not promoting it as a thing you should do. I'm just saying I kind of do the thing I do, which is like read the energy in the room and go like, does this person have COVID? And I ask and I, so far, knock wood, thank God, it's all been a no. But I mean, I don't know.
I think there's also other things you can do, which is the fact that you live alone. So you are sort of self-isolated. So you come relatively more isolated. And then it's kind of like sex. We've talked in the past where it's just like, you know, you have to know that anybody you're interacting with, you're interacting with everybody they've interacted with, basically. So
yeah. And also I live in a small town with a smaller population, although there have been a lot of cases reported here in town. All of a sudden it's been slower to get here, though. It was really not here. And then now it really is.
Where my parents live in Siskiyou County, they had fewer cases than the White House, you know, at a certain point. And then recently they're skyrocketing.
Huh.
And it is somewhat like, you know, if you're traveling from your town to this person's town, that is a theoretical vector, you know, and these are the things that we're trying to. Yeah. So that's why people aren't dating, is because they don't want to cross bubbles.
No, I know why they're not. I'm just sort of acknowledging, like, I don't relate when people say COVID and we don't hug anyone and people. I'm like, I'm getting down, you know, but like, I'm not saying that to everyone. I'm getting late. You know, I'm just here with
you.
You're
not going
like,
to sex parties. Well, maybe you are.
Anymore. No, I'm not. Which brings me to, if anybody's interested, and this is useful for folks, there's a really great podcast called Bill Gates and Rashida Jones Ask the Big Questions. And it's Bill Gates and Rashida Jones literally talking about the biggest questions that exist. And each episode is like, there was a whole COVID episode that was really helpful because they had Fauci on and interviewed him. And between Gates and Fauci, they're the most informed individuals that exists. And it actually like was really helpful and informative for me. And then another episode I heard was about, have we fucked the planet actually so much so that we're totally fucked? And
the answer
I'm halfway through that episode, so I don't have an answer for people, but there's such good technical information from these guys that it's been cool to listen. And as I was talking about in therapy today, I was talking about how I have this experience where I'm like, when science people are naming the real world realities from measurements and numbers and science about, yes, we have fucked the planet. And yes, we have to do these 10 things to get it better. This is really happening. It's so deeply healing and validating for me because I get this kind of information through my like, expanded energy field and the consciousness of God. But like, that's not always the easiest thing for my ego in my waking life to trust. So it's nice to have it validated from that other direction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's been interesting and positive.
That's good. Yeah.
And then the other thing I wanted to talk about today, just briefly before we bring your friend on here, that is fully unrelated to anything we've said.
Yeah.
Terrible segue is I was telling you guys off mic that I listened back to a couple episodes recently, kind of accidentally. I was in my car and my phone just like, I was on a podcast, like probably Armchair Expert, and it finished and it clipped me over to our podcast. And I was like, if I were coaching me on how to fucking be a podcast host, I have some notes and I am attempting to take them right now. my main note was like, calm the fuck down, A. And B, like, if you ask someone a question, let them answer it before you're like, yeah. So me, other words I have to, me, yeah. It's like, no, that person is talking now, Katie. And I'm like, I'm so enthusiastic and excited to like engage and connect and share. Me too. And here's a thought I have that it's like, it's too much.
Yeah.
It's too fucking much. So it was good. It was a good lesson.
On that same topic, for me, the struggle is, and I just did it literally. This is funny. So the struggle is, oh, good. I have a thought on that. I'm listening, but I'm not really listening because I have this thought that wants to come out.
Yeah.
So I did that with that thought just now. I thought, oh, I want to share that thing about that thought that you don't. Oh, wait, I should listen to what's happening while I'm holding on to that thought.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. It's a topic that's been coming up in my dating life too, with my new friend, man, of like, it's very interesting. Sometimes I'll be like, did you hear the words I just said? Because he's not looking at me and he's now talking about another thing immediately after I've said words.
Yeah.
And so I'll be like, did you hear? And he'll repeat them back verbatim, and then he thinks that means it's all good. But to me, I didn't feel heard because he wasn't looking at me and he didn't respond to what I said. Now he's talking about the fucking weather after I just said, like, you know, something about Cheetos. And I'm like, and he's like, no, I heard you. And then he repeats it back. And I'm like, cool, cool, cool. But we're still not having a back and forth where I feel connected to you. So it doesn't matter that you robotically memorize the words I said. That doesn't help my heart. Anyway, so like, just listening is the topic. Active listening, right?
Yeah. But in that, there's also the awareness that, you know, people definitely have different understandings within their own deep heart of what that means. Like, I definitely know, like, I've had to learn, like, oh, that does mean you are listening. I don't feel it, but through your modality, it does mean you're listening. But so like, where's the meeting in the middle? Like, you know, you can't expect him to now be all full engaged heart, you know, like, whereas your space of going like, oh, right, how that lands for him, he's just going to move on to the next thing. But he did hear me. Like, I don't know there. I struggle with this, like, which communication mode is more right?
Well, what if it's not about, see, to me, where I land with it is, it's not about what's right. It's about what works for you.
Right.
Like, with me, that does not work. Like, in a relationship, it doesn't work. I can't roll with that.
Yeah.
But if we're just buddies, I could roll with it fine.
Yeah.
Like, cause I'm like, there he goes being his weird self, and I'll bring it up and he'll tell me it's fine. But in a deep, like, romantic, for me, it's like the romantic thing is so spiritual. It has such a spiritual, like, the hearts really merge and there's this energetic merging that happens, and sex brings the DNA together. There's all kinds of spiritual shit that goes on when you, like, get down with someone. And so it's like, it matters more in that arena to me. The partner thing to me, it's like, this is my life partner. You know, and when I'm dating, it's like, this is potentially my life partner.
Right.
So like, it doesn't work for me in a life partner thing to feel unheard. And I also hold it in my heart. Like, I'm not mad. I don't blame him. I don't think like he should be some other way because he's wrong. It's more like, I love you and that doesn't work for me. So like, either I need you to shift or we're not good. And that's not a threat. That's just like, it's okay if we're not good for each other.
And from his point of view, like, does it work for him that you need that, or that he needs a different mode? Right.
Exactly. I don't know. And that's why.
Yeah. And I made it very binary, which is right or wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I mean, we all do that, right? It's just that what I really know in the spiritual heart is, you know, that nobody's ever right or wrong. It's like, different people have different needs and we're all coming from different places. And
unless you're in court defending Trump, I'm just saying, then you're right. Then there is right or wrong.
Perfect. Perfect. I heard a therapist say this way once. I just want to not forget this thought, which was, she said, it's not, you're not looking for someone with no baggage. You're looking for someone whose baggage matches yours.
I believe that's a quote from the musical Rent.
Stop it.
It is.
No.
I'm looking for someone whose baggage goes with mine.
I think that's a therapeutic idea that Rent took.
Yeah, of course. It's a good language.
But yeah, I mean, the longer I'm alive and the more confidence I've built in my own, like, I'm actually okay. I'm like good with who I am. I mean, I have bouts of insecurity and I get, you know, I'm a human, but I don't have like this inner something is horribly wrong with me anymore, to the point where I'm like, since I don't have that now, when these things come up, I feel weirdly clear about what I need and what works and doesn't work. And nobody is wrong.
Right. Yeah. And that gets you out of the need to, like, quote, repair things that aren't, you know, sometimes we're like, okay, how much can I change and how much can they change to find a place to be together? There's minor shifts that can occur and understandings that can, but if we get caught in the place of like, okay, everything has to change in order for this to work, well, then this doesn't work.
That's right. Or if like three, you know, two thirds of the, I don't know, I'm just at a place where I'm like, there's not a lot. I'm willing to soften what is in the moment, but I trust myself now. So it's sort of like, I'm not changing for anybody.
Yeah.
You're going to dig this whole weird package or you're not, and you're not wrong if you don't.
Yeah. The not wrong if you don't part is that's where it doesn't sound like I ain't changing for nobody. Forget you all, which is a little bit like putting up a wall.
Defensive. That would be defensive. Yeah. Do you want to bring your friend up?
Yep. I'm just sending them a message.
Okay.
Cool. So
meanwhile, my dog is licking the counter and I don't know why. Active counter licking.
Were you sitting on that counter earlier?
Is that Katie butthole that you're licking? Was it my butthole? No, not butthole.
Not Katie.
She's like, no, it's just crackers. You guys are gross.
Why would you say that? Here comes Natalie J. Green coming in hot.
Coming in hot.
Natalie Green.
Oh, hi. Hey.
There she is. Hey, Natalie Green, how are you?
Well, I'm okay. I'm excited to be here.
Well, welcome. Your hair looks fucking great.
Oh, I took a shower for y'all today. It's a
nice,
special thing.
You know, smell doesn't come across. So, you know, we appreciate you.
Thanks.
Are you standing up?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Good for you. I can feel the difference between the sit and the stand energy, and it's really nice. It feels so active.
I bought a standing desk for a few different reasons, but I really like it.
Oh, cool. What were your reasons?
I live for my standing desk, by the
way. Yeah.
With you.
What were your reasons? I'm super curious.
I mean, I'd say the top two reasons are that I've been having some pain when I sit down, and that was the big one.
That's an easy one.
But then the other is because I teach and I like the energy of tea. I've never taught sitting down in all the years leading up to quarantine.
Yeah.
So it didn't make sense to teach sitting down now.
That makes sense. Rock on. I love that.
Yes. Yeah. Stay
all
alive.
Right. So Natalie Green, Mugwumpin, what is it?
Mugwumpin is an interdisciplinary performance ensemble. We're often thought of as theater people, or we make theater, but we come from many different backgrounds. So we're taken to calling ourselves scenographers, which is a European term for people who make interesting scenes and doesn't sort of prioritize actor or director or designer. It's like we're all scenographers because we're making choices about what happens on a stage.
Oh, wow.
And
that's so cool.
Non-hierarchical in a way, I guess.
And so is all the work you're making fully collaborative and democratically built?
Usually, yes. We're on a break. We're on hiatus now.
Yeah.
With many theater companies. But usually it is whoever's involved in the project. The way the project develops could be initiated by anybody. So it could be you know, the lighting designer says, I think that we should use this text, or the choreographer says, can we please have this kind of sound, or, you know, this cross collaborative thing that's not saying, hey, you go get over in your box over there and be quiet and don't chime in about this. It's very collaborative. So
that is fan-effing-tastic. And you guys are based in the Bay Area, right?
We are.
How did I live in the Bay Area for 50 years and never once see anything you did? How?
I don't know, because I think that you probably know a lot of Mugwumpin artists.
I mean, it's definitely on me, by the way. That is not an indictment of your marketing or of your team. That is, I'm certain, me isolating at home going like, there's nothing to do. And there is.
Well, in fact, one of your favorite people has been in several Mugwumpin shows.
Oh, cool. I did not know that. Yeah. I didn't know that. How very cool.
I don't know if they were considered a corollary company member or not, but they were in a lot of shows.
I think we wanted Rami to be a company member. And Rami was like, I'm traveling the world and I'm on TV and rocking all of the wonderful stuff that they rock.
Do you guys have a space, or do you move around based on where what's the show is?
We move around. We're based through Intersection for the Arts, school sponsor and our home base of sorts.
Yeah.
We've done more shows at Z Space than anywhere else, or Z Below.
Yeah.
But we've also done site specific work and a lot of like occurrences, which are sort of like our happenings or like strange events that might be like, we did a 60-hour performance marathon at CIIS some years ago. Where we're like, what is it like to just perform for 60 hours with no sleep?
Holy God.
You know, we experiment on ourselves like that and take big risks. With
you ever fucking hell? Do you ever like do ayahuasca on stage, or like?
Have not gotten there yet, but I wouldn't put it past us.
This is gonna seem like a real hard left turn, but it's making me think of. By the way, we will get to spiritual stuff. Don't you worry. She's like, I'm not worried. It makes me think of when I was in Amsterdam and I saw a live sex show. Because. Not because you guys are doing sex shows, but because just on the topic of like shows that are differently structured, right? I was in the red light district, like you are. And this is how the show I saw went. Two humans were on a bed that was on a circular table on a stage, and the table rotated the whole time. So as they were having sex, you got to see it from all the angles. But here's what was most interesting to me. And I was in Amsterdam at the time. Like, I was actually in an acting program in Ireland at the time, in Temple Bar. And I took time off and flew to Amsterdam. And so I go see this sex show, because you got to fucking see a sex show if you're, come on, you're in Amsterdam. Come on. Mm-hmm. So here's what was most interesting to me. I wish this were a visual show, because I want to show the audience what it was like, because trying to articulate it isn't going to give you the flavor of it. But the, like, if you imagine a man thrusting, he was on one knee and one leg was up of hers, and he's penetrating, she's on her back, and he's very calculatedly and rhythmically and correctly, like a ballerina man, boning her very rhythmically like this. And then he'd look out at you and be like, I'm fucking her now. And then he'd look down at her and say some phrase that, you know, they had like decided on, like, yeah, you like that, don't you? And it was just very choreographed. And then they'd do stuff that was like, oh, we're going off script. And they'd be like, this is real sex, because she just wants me to do this now. But you could feel that it was like, and this is a move we do sometimes. And they did the moves they do sometimes. So anyway, it was like the least sexy thing I've seen on stage. I've seen like Chekhov plays that were vastly more sexy than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because what's not said and the tension in the room and the flirtation underneath and subtext and all of it, there's none of that in this shit. It was just like bone, 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 good night.
Well, I've been training as an intimacy director and like learning about how to facilitate consent, or sort of like there's this thing people think about actors where it's like, oh, those people have chemistry or they don't.
Right.
And that philosophy completely discounts the fact that chemistry is a science. It's not magic. So you can have your test tubes and be like, a little more of this and a little less of that. And a good director, especially a good intimacy director, can actually create tension and what appears to an audience to be sexual chemistry with certain ingredients that you can direct between people. And likewise, you could also have sex without intimacy and just be like performing that, like boning and looking around where your table's spinning and the audience like see this physical act happening, but you knew when you were watching it that there wasn't a level of intimacy or some energetic interaction happening between them that we would usually associate with sex.
Okay,
Natalie,
now,
I would love it if you could tell us a little more, actually, because I think this is a topic that a lot of people don't know exists, is the idea of the intimacy director, which is a relatively new format that's sort of come through in the world lately in theater and film, too.
Yeah, I'm super into it. And I also just want to say that there's an organization called Intimacy Directors and Choreographers, or Intimacy Directors and Coordinators, that does certification. And I'm not certified, but I've trained with them and I'm super geeking out on it. So I'd be happy to share. I guess maybe the one easy way to explain it is a lot of people know what a fight choreographer is, that if you see actors on stage maybe having a sword fight, it's pretty likely they're not going to stab each other because they had a choreographer who specialized in that kind of activity. And it's well rehearsed, it's repeatable, they're safe, they know where to go when and the timing and the cues. And for years, actors didn't have that for sex and intimacy that they needed to perform on stage, and or simulated sex that needed to be performed and other intimate moments. And people got hurt. People were, you know, actors had taken advantage of each other, or people's boundaries have been crossed. And sometimes it's just mushy because people don't even know what boundaries they have. They maybe need a specialist to walk them through it. And, you know, is this okay with you? Do you feel confident about that? And ask the right questions so that what gets choreographed is safe and repeatable. And the actor feels like they can sort of turn up that chemistry for the audience and also turn it off and walk away when the show's over, the rehearsal's over, and be safe and grounded in themselves. It's a lot of asking questions and facilitating a process where consent is given. And one more interesting thing I would say is that permission is different from consent. So I could, if I'm directing something, I could give you permission, right? Like, Cassidy, I give you permission to squeeze Katie's leg. But does Katie consent to that? Me, as the person with power, could give that permission, but I cannot consent. Only the people involved in that act can be involved in the process of consent.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully the person with power allows and encourages that process of consent to happen between the two parties involved.
Yeah. All that makes sense to me. Thank you for breaking it down for us. I directed a show once in LA where there was a really important sex scene that was really pivotal to the whole narrative. Like, the show didn't work if we didn't believe that these characters were having excellent sex and they really were in love with each other. And I find it interesting that it was intuitive to me. Everything you just said, this was like 15 years ago. It was intuitive to me to create that space, to have those conversations, to make sure each, but the reason is not, I'm not like just tooting my own horn here. It's because I had been through so much of my own trauma healing and my own therapy work and my own individuation work that I knew what I would need. And so I applied what I would want to the other people in the room and facilitated them getting to each have a voice every moment. And I also knew that it needed to be very detailedly choreographed because, like you just said, if it's not, nobody feels safe. They don't, is it going tonight? What's he going to do? Is his penis going to rub up against my leg this time, but it didn't last time? What does that mean? How do I feel in the middle of the show? And you're in the middle of a show in front of people. So the choreographed element is so important too. And what I'm trying to articulate about that is simply that it's like when people haven't maybe been through so much training on their own process, they need someone who has in the room. And there's so many people in theater who, I'm going to make a bold statement, do theater because they need trauma healing and because they need, they need some fucking work, but they ain't yet done they work yet. So they need someone in the room who's like, done the work. Let's be careful. I'm going to hold space carefully. Anyway, so thank you for studying it. And yeah.
But it also sounds like you, when you were able to lead that process as a director, tell me if I'm wrong here, but it wasn't necessarily your theater training that prepared you to lead that well. It was the work you've done, maybe healing your own trauma. You're being a feminist, you're being connected to magical spiritual realms, all these good things you know about the human condition and how to respect people that maybe didn't come from your theater training, but you brought into that practice.
That's 100% what I'm saying, is that I had done all this outside work that I now am of the point of view, like, I think theater school, this is just my human one lady point of view. I think when we go to theater school at this point, there needs to be integrated into that. You need to be in therapy and you need to be learning about boundaries, consent, speaking up for yourself, saying no, asking questions, having a voice in the room, empowerment, making space for other people. There's so much people need to know about dealing with each other. That needs to be how that's not integrated into theater training. I can't with that.
No, because we have the experts who are the theater teachers who are actually leading us through a lot of work that is therapeutic in nature, but have no business doing it. Like, you know, especially like I loved my voice teacher. He was phenomenal in graduate school, but that's where in voice classes where all that shit happens. Like, did you cry today? Did they break you down today? Like, that's a thing in grad school, especially. Like, did you get broken yet?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, that means that they're digging into my psyche. And maybe I need some help that's not some dude with a theater degree helping me with that before I get handed to this person as raw clay.
That's right. Or it's a person with a theater degree and a something else degree or certification, as we're talking about here, as Natalie's referring to, because if you have the training, rock and roll, you could do both things. You can hold space in two different ways, you know.
I think, you know, some schools are doing better than others. I'm at USF, so we're the Department of Performing Arts and Social Justice. Yeah. And we've always had this mandate from the Jesuits of like, how can we do good? How can we use arts towards social change.
Wow.
And train our students to be socially conscious and maybe not break our students down in the same way, we hope. But we're not perfect either. And we still have questions about how we are and aren't perpetuating white supremacy or, you know, upholding the patriarchy or whatever, because it's still true that we were trained in these unhealthy ways. And so it's all this personal work we have to do as educators to like make the world that we want to see and train our students the ways that you're talking about.
Yeah, 100%. That's so great that your department is committed to that kind of angle on it. That's refreshing to hear. Do you know, you must know Mark Raffel then.
I do.
Oh, Mark and I just taught together yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah, on Zoom for some corporate thing we did, which was great.
Do you know Mark Raffel?
Have you met Mark Raffel, Cassidy?
We have a standing joke that no one else but us knows about. That every time Katie brings up Mark Raffel, she has to ask me if I know Mark Raffel. And the answer is actually not really, but I've met him through Katie once.
But I could shoot this over your head, Cassidy, because I do know.
I know.
I mean, like, legitimately, here's the funny part of any of that, if there's anything funny in it, is that truly like 10 different times I asked him that from a sincere place of like, anyway, so Mark and I were teaching, you know, Mark Raffel, like over and over, he'd be like, remember last week when you asked that? And I'd be like, I don't remember that. Anyway, that's a little thing we have going on. So speaking of nothing to do with what I'm about to say.
Okay.
So I assume Cassidy told you a tiny bit about what we do on this podcast. Yes. And so I'd love to ask, and this is a question I love to throw to kind of all of our guests. How would you frame, or what would you say about anything for you of a spiritual nature? Like, do you have a practice? Do you do stuff? Do you believe in things? I don't even know how to frame the question really, but what is spirituality to you, if anything?
Oh, I come from a long line of spiritual women and some more woo and some less, but I'm from the desert. So I feel like some like deep part of my being is a desert creature. And a spiritual desert creature, although I've spent a lot of my life in the Bay Area. I think like my spiritual core is of the desert.
Which desert?
Sonoran Desert. So I'm from the border, Tucson, Nogales, Arizona.
Cool. Yeah. I'm in the southwest corner of Colorado, so I'm relatively close to there now. Okay. Yeah. And I have a weird, I don't, I shouldn't say weird, but I have a deep love affair with Tucson, oddly enough. The town.
Love hate affair with Tucson, but yeah, that's just because my family's there.
Ah, well, that'll do it.
Which part of that is your family?
All. No. No, that'll
do it.
No, yeah. That's true. It's both.
But I would say that I have had mixed experiences sort of embracing and mixed experiences pushing away my spiritual interests and abilities. So I'd say that I'm not someone with a rigorous practice. I have always felt like I've lived under a lucky star in some way, that I have been in a lot of dangerous situations in my life and experienced hardships and kind of come out okay.
Mm.
Like it consistently happens that I get into some shit and then it's fine.
Mm.
And so I've never wanted to take advantage of that. And also I want to investigate, like, yeah, really tuning into my intuition and listening deeply. I'm really trying to, particularly in a time in my life where I'm experiencing chronic pain. Mm. And so like the intersection of spirituality and chronic pain has been interesting for me.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
I can answer more questions, but I'm feeling like I'm rambling now. So,
oh no, I'm tracking you. I'm tracking you for whatever that's worth. You know, my experience working with a lot of recovery people and a lot of, you know, just working as a healer for 20 years, most people come to deep spiritual connection through pain.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know, there's this whole thing in the consciousness realms and the schools and the light worker schools of there's this new movement toward facilitating in the consciousness of the collective, the ability for humanity to choose divine connection from choice and joy rather than from necessity and pain. Like we're all trying to move the collective toward like energetically doing our light work toward where people can just be like, I would like to feel lighter and brighter now. I choose more spirit. but the reality is, so that's like the nice idyllic sort of utopian vision we all carry. But the reality is most human beings, 99.9%, come through pain, because pain, I mean, is the doorway to it. You know, the Leonard Cohen thing, I think it's Leonard Cohen. He says it's the cracks that let the light in,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's literally true from an energy healer perspective. Like when you have an injury, oftentimes the reason healers are such a mess personally is because they've been injured really badly, which literally blows their energy field open in a way that gives them abilities they wouldn't have had they not been injured that way. So the trick obviously for healers then is to like heal your shit and know yourself and be a functioning human and deal with your own wounding, but to then simultaneously benefit from the crack open that you've been given. But a lot of people, you know, for better and for worse, depending on the situation, are just kind of broken, but also have real legitimate healing abilities. And it's that pain that gives them that. So anyway, I'm a big proponent of pain because I've seen so many people get where they're trying to go spiritually through some problem they couldn't solve through therapy or some problem they couldn't heal through Western medicine. And then they show up to a woo-woo weird person like myself and, oh, it was an entity invasion. It wasn't about your mom.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, it was a past life energy that we truly had to clear. It wasn't about like, how were you raised or what was it like in your house as a kid? And sometimes there are things, of course, that are about how you were raised as a kid and your mom. There's a ton of that. Most of it is that, but not all of it.
Most of it is mom.
And I would say the other thing that came up as you were talking, I realized is grief. So yeah. I feel like when I've experienced loss, yeah. And it feels like it kind of strips me bare. I feel a lot more receptive to noticing energies and other things of just like, oh, you know, either physical pain or like loss and grief and that kind of hardship. And then all of a sudden I can feel it when some entity or spirit walks into the space, or when I'm about to make a bad decision, there's like, I just feel more receptive in those moments where I've kind of been stripped bare of all the other pretense or whatever else constructs my identity or personality. When that stuff gets broken down, then I'm quite spiritual.
That is the business. And we were just talking about that. We always have this phenomenon on this podcast where Cassie and I will talk about stuff before the guest comes on. And then every time, inevitably, it comes out of the guest's mouth. Every time, almost every time, I should say. But we were talking about, I was talking about feeling super raw today because of an argument or disagreement I had with the person I'm dating, and how, and just like what that is to walk around with a cracked open heart, and how, you know, the sensitivity is heightened when that's happened. And my life is just a constant series of cracking and cracking and expanding and expanding and cracking and opening and cracking and opening and more and more. And like, that's just the freaking path of this lady healer person. But anyway, it works really well to do that thing.
And you were saying that that crack open, the argument that you hated having that then stripped you bare and laid you bare ultimately does make you feel closer to this person and more intimate.
So yeah. There,
it's both the pain and the result though is a truer spiritual connection.
Exactly. So the spiritual connection with the divine or the all that is becomes greater when the heart is cracked open and with the other human in the room.
Did the argument like burn away some of what was debris between you, and then there's a more direct pathway?
It's more like, that's an interesting way to frame it. I wonder if that's true. I have to sit with that question. But my experience in the moment of it was like, because we came back to each other, I wouldn't even say that we resolved the issue at hand per se, but because in therapy, they call it rupture and repair. Yeah. So in an argument, therapeutically, the term would be like you have the fight and it ruptures something between you. And then the way you repair it is just as important as anything else in the dynamic. So we had, to be specific, we had like this uncomfortable conversation late at night on the phone. We were too tired and we shouldn't have been trying to talk about what we were talking about. And then it was like heated, and then he sort of hung up and it was awful. And we both didn't sleep well. And then at 8 a.m. he called me and was just like, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. And then I was like, it's okay. Me too. And our hearts opened back to each other and we repaired it really nicely in that moment of like, I got your back. You're good. We had a moment. Let's pretend you're here and we're hugging. We're good. Hug, hug, hug. Let's see each other Tuesday and we'll do a lot of hugging and we'll not talk about this right now. And this can, you know, so the repair was so nice that the rupture like blows the heart open so I can receive more of him. And then the repair allows that receiving to feel safe, I guess is how I would frame what happened. But that blowing open, so we also have another kind of longish standing joke on the podcast about like makeup sex and how I'm always cranky because I've never had any. I don't fight in the way that leads to makeup sex. And I'm always jealous of people that are like having it because they say it's so good, except that I think I lately have experienced it. With this person where it's like, there's such a sensitivity between our hearts because we just went where we went in that argument and then repaired it. And the lovemaking is part of the repair, that there's a deeper connection at the heart level because of the rupture.
Okay, two thoughts. It reminds me of that Japanese art form where you fill in the cracks with gold.
Ooh.
And something breaks and you
yeah.
Then it becomes way more beautiful. Duh.
Yes. Yes.
But then also I was listening. So I have to admit, I didn't listen to the podcast until like yesterday. And then I just started binge listening.
All right. So
just this morning, I was listening to a previous episode of this podcast talking about makeup sex. And what I was thinking was, I don't fight with partners often either. I'm also sort of conflict avoidant. But I don't think that you have to fight to have that kind of fiery, transformative sex. Like, you could also just have the makeup sex without the conflict.
Of course.
But how 100%. Do you generate that fire? Just generate fire.
I don't know. I did date a Brazilian jiu-jitsu instructor over the summer. And it was always very much fire and wrestling, and like, we had had a big, like, we cared about each other, one, which wasn't true. Had a big fight, two, also never happened. And then got to it, and it was like, rawr. But we just didn't need those first two things. It was just like, rawr, all the time. And then that got old, but
yeah. Don't you think that speaks to the organic chemistry between two people?
Mm-hmm.
Like, in other words, I'm not hearing you say everyone I've dated is that way. You're saying me and this dude had that dynamic. And yeah. I just find that endlessly fascinating how you put any two humans in the bedroom and it's a whole different thing because of the different dynamism between those individuals.
But then my question for you is that because of things that might have happened between them in past lives or other like karmic buildup?
Okay, so great question. The answer is it could be any number of things. And we would have to look individually case by case to respond. Like, there's no general answer, but I will say here are some examples of the stuff it can be. Past lives, your stuff, your past lives. His past lives together, your karma together, your childhood trauma, his childhood trauma, your trauma together. Like, there's so many little, then you add this whole other element that I'm obsessed with that Cassie gets to hear me talk about a lot, which is this system called human design. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but human design, it teaches that when you start to get familiar with your own human design chart, it's sort of like a very specific, very elaborate astrology meets the I Ching meets the auric field meets a whole other dimension of shit all in one place. And what they teach is that you have these centers in your body, and off the centers are what's called gates and channels. So depending, and there's like 8 centers and like 30 gates and channels, and some are open and some are closed and some are hanging and some are complete. And what happens theoretically, according to human design, is when you and your auric field meet another human mammal in their auric field, your gates and channels just do what they do together. In other words, nobody's wrong and nobody's right. It's just when those two chemistries enter each other's field, in the same way that we were talking about chemistry before, if you put, I don't know, fucking vin. Oil into vinegar, they behave the way oil and vinegar behave. You got to shake them up or they stay separate, right? Similarly, when Cassidy and I come into each other's field, we're like buddies who do dick jokes and spiritual talk. That's what we do because that's what we are. And so for me, there's been a real liberation in really looking closely at different people's charts and looking closely at my own human design chart. Because it takes away the constant, relentless belief we all function from, so many of us anyway, anyone who's intelligent or sensitive or both, that I have to heal all my stuff or figure my stuff out and change and be better so that I can be better with people. Sometimes that's the case, but other times it's like your gates and channels just don't fit with that person in front of you's gates and channels. Or your gates and channels add up to like jujitsu sex where you don't have to have a fight. Or in our case, me and current dude, our gates and channels lead to we fight too much and it's maybe not going to work, you know, whatever, whatever. And so it takes all this like self-hate and self-criticism off the table. And it's very empowering. Now, of course, you could use that as an excuse to never own your shit and never take responsibility or be a grown-up person. And we're not supporting that idea. We're saying not that. We're saying that there are things that are just you and that there are things that are just him. And when those two chemicals come together, certain shit just occurs.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It starts to make a lot more sense when you look at your own chart. And then you look at, there's this, this is for the listener too. There's this website called mybodygraph.com. And what you can do on mybodygraph.com for free is you can put your birth date and the person, another, your friend, your mom, your uncle, who you're dating's birth date, and it'll show you a combo chart. And it'll talk to you very specifically about what happens when these two systems come together. And holy fuck balls, is it specific and clear and helpful and illuminating? And I'll tell you, I'm pretty shameless about being like date number three. I'm like, cool, 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 cool. What's your birthday? Because I'm going to look at your human design chart for shits.
I just want to return to the moment when you were describing and you said your uncle who you're dating. And I just wanted to check your math on that one.
That is not what I said. That is what you heard.
Well, those are that is literally what you said. Although there was an implied comma between them.
Oh, God.
So, yeah.
Understood. All. Well, let's emphasize the comma. Have you ever seen that t-shirt that says, let's eat, comma, grandma? And then on the back of it, and then under it, it says, let's eat grandma.
Grandma, commas are
important. Without a comma. And then on the back of the shirt, it says, commas save lives.
Let's eat, grandma.
Let's eat, comma,
the
grandma.
That said, commas are important, people. And then it was like, well, if you... Yeah.
That's great.
That makes me laugh.
That's really great.
So true.
Yeah. So now would be the time, I think we're kind of at our time where we would open your Akashic Records if you'd like me us to.
Yeah, I'm down. Also, right. I just want to say in terms of how I started binging this podcast yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I was like laying in bed with a heating pad last night, falling asleep while I was listening to one and had some strange dreams. I don't really remember my dreams usually. I just know that they were something by the quality when I wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
And then first thing in the morning, I broke a glass and I was like, oh, something's happening. I was like, this is you, because usually I break things when there's like something spiritual about to be passing through. And
rock on.
Yeah. So I already broke a glass in honor of this experience.
So you're ready to go is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Natalie, give me 10 seconds. I just got
to
do something.
And I have to pee. So I'm going to do that too. But before I pee, Natalie, what's your full legal name that's on your driver's license?
It's Natalie Janelle Green.
Let's pee. We'll be right back.
Okay.
All right. Cool. Give yourself a second. I'll be right back. This is my moment to just talk to Desmond and say, Desmond, how's it going? And you're just hearing this and wondering, I hope the sound quality is good. You know, I love you and I hope everything is going well in your life right now. So this is my private message to Desmond.
Okay. So we'll close our eyes just for a moment and we'll take a couple deep breaths into the low belly. Dropping into connection with the pelvic floor and the womb, or the pelvic floor if you're just a dude, if you're just like a dude, just like feel into your pelvic. Breathing into the second chakra, feeling the feelings that are there. As you inhale, just allowing that low belly to expand and fill while the shoulders remain relaxed. And the chest remains relaxed. And as you exhale, allowing the low belly to collapse a bit. Okay. We're going to feel into now, as you continue to breathe in that way, into the low belly. Feel into the bottoms of each foot. Visualize, imagine, and allow that at the bottom center of each foot, a little foot chakra starts to open. To expand the bottom of your foot, turning the bottom of your foot into like an open space, little foot chakra, or like a little hurricane of light opens and spins open and open, bigger and bigger until the plane of the bottom of each foot is a nice open field, like a space. And this open space allows the electromagnetic field of your body to connect with the electromagnetic field of the earth. Just by feeling into the bottoms of your feet and imagining that they have open windows. Yes, as the surface area of the bottoms of them. Yep. And then coming out of the bottom of each foot, from each foot is 500 energetic roots that extend like tree roots down into the earth, many hundreds of miles. From your left foot, tree roots. From your right foot, tree roots. Down and down, down and down, hundreds of miles. Shooting down and out, forward and back in every direction. And just, we're going to have the intention that those energetic roots that you're extending now, that you're seeing in your mind's eye, really happen, that they drop into the part of the earth that your soul connects best with, that your soul and your body and your nervous system are fed by. I mean, and as those roots extend, we're going to see now extending from the base chakra, the root chakra, the bottom of your spine, a nice big wide grounding cord, maybe a foot and a half wide, that shoots down to the center of the planet now. Boom, like a tunnel or a tube or a root. Big wide grounding cord shooting to the center of the earth. Excellent. And it's an open, porous, receptive grounding cord. And as it hits the center of the earth immediately generously contributes divine light up through the cord into your root chakra, sending that light forward into each hip socket, down through each glute, down through each quad and hamstring, flowing into the knees and the calves and the shins, the ankles, the feet, and the roots we extended, such that the roots you extended into the earth are now receiving divine light from her. So you're giving to her and she's giving to you. And thus a tripod grounding structure is created. I mean, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad abduhu wa rasulullah. And so we'll visualize now. Let's see, is that required? No. Okay, so I think we're ready to go. And so we do acknowledge, as you just keep that image of the tripod grounding structure, your connection to the earth and your connection to your low belly breath, we do acknowledge the forces of light now, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of God, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness. And please direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know, Natalie, Janelle, Jeanette, I put it away. Natalie, Janelle Green, I'm in the light of the Akashic Records, to see Natalie Janelle Green through the eyes of the Lords of the Records and enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Natalie Janelle Green have for Natalie Janelle Green. And I'll go quiet for just a moment now. Okay, and so the records are open and I'm going to Allah, ask out loud, Lords, Masters, and Teachers of the Akashic Records of Natalie Janelle Green, the woman who's here on this podcast now with Cassidy and myself, I ask that you deepen me into her records. You deepen her into her records, allowing us access to the highest vibrational frequencies of her soul and its alignment to source. Yeah, thank you. And just giving me deep and profound access to the highest levels and all the levels of her Akashic Records that I may be of maximum service to her now, and that I may hear as clearly and receive information as clearly and directly as I can. And so we're asking now too for facilitation and clearing of anything in the way in Natalie's field and in my field of my receiving guidance for her that serves her highest good. I see. Yeah, we're asking for the removal, the clearing, the pulling away of everything that would stand in the way in Natalie's energy field, body, mind, soul, spirit, heart, across all time, dimension, space, reality, and my own, that would stand in the way of my receiving clear, direct guidance from her team, from her Lords, Masters, and Teachers of her records now. Okay. And okay, is anything else required? No, yes, something else is required. What is required here? I'm just going to listen for just a moment, Natalie. Okay, imagine if you would, Natalie, for just a moment, that every piece of resistance that you might be carrying on any conscious or unconscious level to being deeply spiritually connected, to surrendering to the divine and to hearing useful guidance right now, will you see all that energy in your mind's eye as like a black or a gray sludge that's running through your meridians that is dropping right now down through that root chakra that we extended into the center of the earth, that grounding cord? Just kind of visualize a bunch of dense, cynical, cynical and skeptical energy just draining down through that grounding cord now. Yes. Yes. Allowing for a nice softening of the nervous system and the heart. Keeping in mind that if I do my job right, all we're doing here today is connecting with the source, which is love, and bringing through, you know, some loving guidance, support, and direction that's meant to increase your fulfillment, peace, joy, ease, and healing in your life. Nothing here is meant to be impressive or fancy or bullshit. I mean, Allah. Okay, thank you for that. Okay, Lords, Masters, and Teachers, the records are of Natalie. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Anything else required before we take questions? No. Okay. Okay. All right. So I have some just awareness of some stuff, and I'm just going to let that continue to sift through and see how it relates to whatever you'd like to know. It's all good, happy stuff. It's just information they're giving me. But they'd like us to start with what questions, if any, do you have, Natalie, that you'd like to put forth to the record keepers?
What do I need to know to carry less suffering in my body?
Okay. Okay. Where in your body is the suffering?
At this time in my life, it's in the pelvic floor.
Okay. Would you be willing to feel into that pelvic floor discomfort right now?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just drop in there. Really, you got to actually feel it or I can't really do this. Yeah, that's it. Oh, Allah. So we're just going to bring a bunch of, we're going to flood that area with light and start to soften the, whatever needs softening, strengthen, whatever needs strengthening, clear what needs clearing. Continue to visualize some dark energy draining from the pelvic floor, Natalie, down through that grounding cord into the earth. And as it drops into the earth, it just instantly turns into golden and white flecks of light that just dissipate into nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just continuing to feel into whatever's happening in the pelvic floor and track along with it as it moves and changes. Find if and when anything changes, stay with the pieces that remain tight or painful. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Natalie, if you could tell me a little bit about what's happening in the pelvic floor now with regard to the discomfort or the pain that's there.
Now in general or now in this moment?
Right now.
When I try to tap into it, I am able to feel a release through that grounding cord.
Yeah.
It's almost like it just fills back up again.
And yeah. It's like, okay.
I'll release and I can visualize like the tar seeping down into the earth and I'm letting go of something. Yeah. And then by the time I tune back in, it's like filled back up.
Okay, so stay with the part that's filled back up, like feel into the middle of the thickest part of the filling. Yeah, and let it be really thick and gross and terrible, or whatever it is, let it be that fully. Okay, so any and all past life energy, past lives that are holding this in place, creating it, locking it into Natalie's body, being soul spirit. We ask for all that, Lords, Masters, and Teachers, to be brought to present time now. Cleared, lifted, uncreated, destroyed. Natalie, all I need you to do is stay with the sensation. Yes. Okay. Staying again, tapped into whatever might be happening in that area. I'm going to run this wacky thing. So any and all beings without bodies attached to that area, sharing that area with you, in your body, on your body, near your body, in this dimension or any other dimensions, past, present, or future timelines that are creating that tightness for Natalie there, that tension, that pain, y'all can go ahead and leave her body being soul spirit across all time, dimension, space, reality now. lords, masters, and teachers of the Akashic Records of Natalie Janelle Green, we're asking for facilitation of anything and everything on all planes of reality, this dimension and all others, past, present, and future timelines, anything and everything, creating that pain or holding it in place to be unlocked, cleared, uncreated, destroyed. And we're calling on all the star beings and the star nations to facilitate this clearing. Any and all star beings and star nations that desire and are willing to facilitate clearing here, we're asking for that to happen, that Natalie may have no pain in her pelvic floor anymore. Shadowan Layla Illallah, Shadowan Muhammad Abduhua Rasulullah. All right, I'm going to ask a few questions out loud, Natalie, and then I'll check back in with you in just a moment. Okay. So is there any past life remaining stuff that's no, contributing karma, no, trauma, no, entities, no, demonic stuff, demons, no, other people's energy, yes, okay. So feeling into whatever's happening in that area right now, Natalie, anybody else's energy that you're carrying there, would you be willing right now to send it back to that person so that they can grow on their soul path and you can be free of this?
Yes.
Okay. Allah. All that now, sending back to the person or people it came from, past, present, or future. Any dimension or reality. I mean, Allah. Yeah. Any imprinting, cellular memory, or energies that that person or people left in your body, we're asking the divine now, Mother, Father, all that is the creation, the great creatrix, Sophia, Gaia, all the ascended masters that are available, any unemployed angels, all the star beings and star nations to contribute to the dissipation, the clearing, and the release of all of that person's energy and or anything they left behind in Natalie Janelle Green's body, being soul, spirit, on any level of all, of consciousness now, please. I mean, and just imagine little flakes of darkness rising up through the midline of your body. I keep wanting to call you Janelle. It's so funny. Natalie, up through the midline and dissipating out your crown into golden flecks of white light. Golden and white light. All of that, everything and anything that person or people left behind. Ya Shafi, Al-Alim, Al-Qudus, Al-Salam, dissipating out your crown, just turning into white light wherever it is. Allah, Ya Shafi, Al-Alim, Al-Qudus, Ya Karim, Ya Shafi, Allah, Ya Shafi, Al-Qudus, 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 Al-Salam, Al-Rizak, Al-Aziz. Okay, so what, Natalie, if anything, is happening in that area now?
It feels warm. Mm-hmm. I feel some heat. I would say the quality of the pain is different.
Yeah. How so? What was it like, the quality before, and what is it like, the quality now of the pain?
I feel like I've developed a lot of patterns of resistance to like sit without, like I avoid it a lot, and I feel a little more comfortable looking it in the face now. And, like there's pliability.
Okay.
That wasn't there.
Okay. And let's say that the pain itself, the actual pain, let's just say, for the sake of having some language to share, that we started at a 10 on a, out of 10.
Yeah.
What number would you give it now on the 10 out of 10 scale of how much pain there is compared to where we started?
It's just interesting because it's sort of conditional on movement and like where my weight is.
Uh-huh.
When you had asked me to like dial into the pain, I started to shift my body weight backwards to the place where I knew if I sit that way, it's very painful.
Right.
And I'm doing that right now. And it's less scary. It feels like it's willing to work with me a little more.
Would you give it like an 8, 6, 5, 4, 3? What number would you give it?
If it was at 10 before, it's like in like the 7 range now.
Okay, great. And does it radiate anywhere or is it in one spot?
interestingly, a few minutes ago, I was feeling a lot up through the torso and the right side of my neck. That there's just some, maybe some patterns loosening up, and that the right chain that connects down into it.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have some blockage in the solar plexus, and so feeling more energy moving through there is always a powerful thing for me.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So do you know what this pain is from?
I've had a series of really bad infections in the area.
Okay.
And like about 10 years on and off, I'll get a debilitating infection.
In the pelvis?
Yeah, sometimes in the skin and sometimes under the surface. But the doctors now think that there's muscular holding patterns that are just from how many times I've had these infections. But
yeah,
there have been also like weird tests where they're like, get another MRI. You know what? You only have one working kidney, but that's probably not related to the pain. You could just ignore one kidney's half the size of the other. And I'm like, what? So there's been a lot of medical stuff in the last months that I haven't put together, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If I were to ask you, let's see, if you were to theorize about, let's say there was an emotional human thing that happened, like a trauma of some kind,
yeah,
that set all this in motion, what would that be?
I mean, when I try to tune into it emotionally, there's shame. I think shame is one of the things, and like some level of commitment to that shame that sometimes manifests in a self-sabotage. Sometimes there's neglect.
And what caused the shame? Shame about what?
Oh, let me tune into that. I don't know. I think that for me, there's a level of like, I don't let myself like shine as brightly as I am capable of, because I've been in a lot of situations where that would have been dangerous or scary or weird. Like
what kind of situations?
I don't know. I've never had any money in my life. So I was, you know, I grew up poor, and then I like chose an artist's life with a lot of hustle in an expensive city. And I feel like I'm not actually getting at the root of this. Could you ask the question again?
Just a moment. We're actually clearing a lot just by talking about it all.
Cool.
Just keep feeling into the 7 out of 10. Do whatever you have to do to be with that. The question was, what was the source of the shame? Shame about what? You said, I don't shine as brightly as I could. Why not? What's the shame about? What happened?
I don't totally know, but I do feel a shift in the quality of it.
Great. Tell me about that.
It's in a slightly different position, or it's not, I'm not experiencing the pain in the exact same place.
Yeah. Where is it now?
It's cool. It's a little more on the right side, which is often, like a more challenging side of my body and where I've had more injury. So that's interesting. It's almost like it's reverting or reversing, like it's going back through some of the patterns, like unwinding maybe.
Yeah, that's the word that people use all the time. Good job. So stay with wherever it's tight right now.
Okay.
Good. You're doing great. Sometimes all we have to do is be with what's there, and then the divine through me can just like treat it. So you don't have to release it even. You get to just be with it. And we do the releasing over here. Mm-hmm. Okay, really good. Okay, so what's happening now?
My attention shifted to the kidneys a little bit, because I want to know so much how that issue is related.
Yeah.
Like, why do I have one kidney half the size of the other?
Cool. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Tell me about the pain, if there is any. Where is it? What is it doing? What number is it? If it was a 7, what is it now? Et cetera. Anything of that.
It's definitely changing. And I am sensing like a 5, and it's it's there if I look for it. So if I shift my weight and really try to, it doesn't feel as powerful. I could say that.
Great. So, okay. All right. So, okay. So is it all?
I don't know if y'all heard that. Ooh.
What was that?
My hip just popped.
Yeah. That happens for me a lot as well. That's great. Okay, great. Okay. So now a law. So we're going to look at the kidney now. Which kidney is smaller?
Right.
Wacky question, but do me a favor. Would you please like feel into your kidney?
Yeah.
All right. And what's happening now for you in either in the kidney or anywhere else?
I have a hard time really feeling into the kidney area. Uh-huh. I experience a lot of sensation there.
Mm-hmm. So what's happening anywhere?
There's a buoyancy, I would say. I feel light, a little floaty. And attention keeps being pulled to the crown of my head.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the left side is like, do I not get any credit for having been good all this time?
Allah. Thank you, left side, for supporting Natalie's life and making it all possible. We acknowledge you. Okay. So bring your attention, if you would, Natalie, to the crown of your head. All right. Lords, masters, and teachers, we're asking for facilitation with whatever holds that in place. Allah, opening and realigning of the eighth chakra. Allah, for Natalie, and asking eight to be connected with 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1, allowing for the soul to drop fully into the body in all places and spaces it's been disconnected or lost. Allah.
Yeah, that was powerful.
Yeah. Allah. And then we're asking for chakras 9 and above to be awakened, to spin correctly, to open, and to align perfectly as they're meant to with 1 through 8, please. Lords, masters, and teachers, of the Natalie here. Allah, everything in the way of the proper spinning, alignment, and functioning of 1 through 8, and then 9 and above, we ask for those. All that to be spun off, cleared, sent to the light, uncreated, destroyed. Particularly with the third chakra now. Ooh. Anything and everything across all time, dimension, space, and reality in chakras 1 through 8, 9 and above for Natalie Janelle Green, keeping them from all working as a unified, functioning, high functioning field that is in alignment with and surrendered to her higher self and the divine itself. We're asking for it to be cleared, uncreated, destroyed, opened, felt, integrated, and brought through, and or whatever else is required. Amen.
Feel an opening on like the back left side of my head above my ear. And also like a little reluctance, like something is hanging on.
Yeah. Where is the energy of that reluctance physically? Where is it?
It keeps being drawn to like top left side of head near the ear.
Okay, good. Feel right into the middle of that reluctance and just let it be fucking reluctant. Let it really just resist and be like, fuck this, or whatever it's saying. Yeah, yeah. And if it had a voice, what words would it say?
So you want to pay attention now?
Good. Yeah. She does want to pay attention now. Ugh. There you go. Yeah, that's it. Do you have any Irish or Scottish lineage?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And so we call on the Star Nation or Star Nations, plural, that are in alignment with her Celtics, Irish lineage. Allah, asking for high vibrational, Allah, energetic delivery now from you to up-level her alignment and her midline. To create more ease and flow, abundance, joy, and ease in her 3D reality. Now, please, lining us up with her star family. Wow. I'm going to describe a few things in a minute of what's happening here. Okay. So what's happening in your body now, Natalie? Anything at all that you're aware of?
I could say there's a quality of light. Like even when I had my eyes closed, the quality of light changed. When I opened my eyes, the quality of light in my room was very different.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm feeling witnessed. I feel like not by you all or the podcast, but like there's maybe a feminine.
That's right.
Entity.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you a few things.
Okay.
Fantastic. I'm so glad you're aware of that feminine witnessing. Okay, that's the witnessing of your soul and your essence by the divine as embodied through your star family, which I perceive to be the Arcturians. Give me a moment. As we acknowledge it, they drop in more deeply, contributing. So the Arcturians are a star nation that have the vibrational frequency of love, warm, like they describe it to me like the most luxurious bathrobe you've ever put on, like a chenille bathrobe that's like dense and thick and nurture. It's like fuzzy bunny slipper love running through every cell of your body. Now that we've connected you back to them, they see you. They acknowledge you. They love you. The record keepers send their love. The divine witnesses you. Now, even bigger than that, or I should say more, sometimes more potent than that. There were three times in this process for me where we were taken on the soul level to what's called the Kaya Ra is this author and this oracle. She calls herself an oracle and a channel. She channels the energies of the ascended masters or a bunch of them. She wrote a great book called The Sophia Code, and she's written some other stuff. She has a term that I got aligned with and an energy called the black womb of no thing. The black womb of no thing. And it's if you imagine the Big Bang, the moment they always talk about, the scientists, like right before the Big Bang exploded into things, there was no thing. There was the black womb of no thing. And sometimes certain energies that are stuck or whatever need to clear in order for the human soul to have peace and ease and spiritual alignment. We must be taken back is the wrong way to say it, but we must be dropped into the vortex, if you will, of the black womb of no thing. So this happened in when we were in touch with your third chakra, your heart, and your third eye. The black womb of no thing is like a reset button from the universe where you get like everything gets erased and reset so that you can just be in alignment and be your true spiritually aligned, spiritually connected self in that place where she shows up. So that you acknowledge the presence and the witnessing of a feminine energy is very relevant, given that we have the Arcturians present, who are a very love, 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 cozy kind of feminine energy. We were taken through the black womb of no thing several times, which is a womb. Okay, so that's inherently feminine, if you will. And the divine is present, you know. Now, when we refer to the womb and the feminine here, we mean to say that which creates, that from which distinct entities are birthed or born. Okay. We're not talking about some gendered identity thing. Okay. So I'm aware of the time. Do either of you need to go right at this second?
Not right this second. I got some more minutes.
I've got about 10 minutes more. Does that work for you?
Yes.
Natalie.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Great. Okay, great. Cass, if you could give me like when there's 2 minutes left, that'd be great. Okay. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. So Natalie, do you have any kind of wrap-up questions or points of clarification you'd like to touch on?
I guess the original question for me, it has a few parts to it because the original question being like, what do I need to know to carry less suffering? Because I can say that the past 6 months that I've had this pain is different, but I can track different times in my life where I've had intense physical or spiritual pain that I just have been carrying a lot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I always find something to carry that is heavy. And I'm curious if something could be cleared or if some message can be passed to me to change that pattern.
Right. Uh-huh. So Lords, Masters, and Teachers of the Records for Natalie, is she like doing something to create this? No. All right. This was another piece they actually were talking about before, but thank you for the question. So they want you to understand something about the fabric of three-dimensional reality. So when you have a physical injury, wherever it is, or whatever it is, or whatever caused it, there is always a spiritual corollary. Or you could say there's a spiritual origin point, or you could say a spiritual energetic linchpin. That when we pull the linchpin out, if you will, metaphorically speaking, energetically speaking, the physical injury begins to dissipate and release. So spirit and body, of course, not separate, super connected. Mm-hmm. So this is more about the combination of things that happened in your realities in past lives, mm-hmm. karma you carried, and things that have happened in this reality that have gotten stored as energies that in your body and soul and spirit that then show up as physical pain. Mm-hmm. So attempting to treat the physical pain from the physical level will work. For other people, you have to hit it at the spiritual source point or linchpin. You do well with working from the spiritual level. Now, part of what's been making this challenging is in addition to having had normal human traumas this lifetime and in a couple previous lifetimes, and interestingly, they give me that like it's not a lot of lifetimes, it's like just a couple, it's very light given that. So you've had that, but also your spiritual alignment hasn't been fully possible. You haven't been fully aligned with your own spiritual essence and your sort of lineage, your spiritual lineage alignment. Okay. So you can't treat a physical problem on the spiritual level if you don't have a spiritual alignment that is functioning at its highest capacity. So what you could think of what we did today as something akin to if you have an engine in a car and the chassis is broken and the what's the thing that breaks all the time? People break their T, it starts with a T, their transmission doesn't work and there's no oil in the thing that needs oil and the windshield wiper fluid is empty. So the whole engine starts to break, literally physically break apart. But then you get a mechanic in there and they fix the chassis. I don't even know what a fucking chassis is. Okay. But they fix the chassis and they put the fucking transmission where it's supposed to go. And the oil goes in the place and the liquid goes in the thing. And then suddenly the engine is like, oh, I'm an engine. I'm an engine again. And then the car starts to run. that's what we did on the spirit level here, is a certain amount of that for you. Mm. Such that the vehicle of your body being soul spirit can ride the highway of life more easily without needing to create or recreate physical injury to teach you that it needs to be treated on the spiritual level, which is meant to teach you that the spirit matters and you need a relationship with it.
That sounds true. That feels right.
Hallelujah. So the best little homework we could give you would be, please practice connecting to yourself in the spiritual realm and your spiritual self's alignment to something greater than you, whatever that means to you. But it must be like a practice that you show up for, even if it's as simple as stepping into nature, finding your expansive energy field, whatever you like to do.
Okay.
They're telling me that it would be great for you to work with the vibrational frequencies of the Arcturians. And I can send you a link to a YouTube video that will just, that you could play and meditate with and visualize some things with that would do that for you if you like.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. You got it. Arcturians. Okay. I'm making a note because I'll forget when I come out of the records. Okay. All right. I think we're going to leave it there unless there's any other, and let us, they're like, let us conclude by saying, here's the simplest way to frame it. Spend more time in your spiritual alignment, allowing the vibrational essence of the Arcturians to move through your entire body, being soul, spirit, nervous system, and mental organism. And trust that in so doing, these injuries on the spirit level are eradicated, such that on the 3D level, you don't have to keep experiencing them over and over. The other piece is that is required is a diligent commitment to being free of it all. As you mentioned at the beginning, there can sometimes be a bit of resignation or resigning into, or what's that, collapsing kind of into the, oh, well, that's just how it is, or a kind of familiarity with these problems and an identification with these injuries. Rather than that, let us encourage in you that you make a commitment to being liberated from all of it, period. And that you understand it is not too much to ask to be liberated from all of it, all of it, all of it. A lot of human beings, most human beings function from, well, at least I just have to accept it. What we would offer is acceptance is step number one. I accept that I have this pain. Step number two is feel into that pain. Step number three is bring the light of something greater than you to the pain and allow that light to transmute it such that you no longer have it. Too many human beings are functioning from very low standards of what they believe is possible for themselves in terms of their healing. All of it can go. That being said, certain injuries will require consistent attention from the light over the whole lifetime. Mm-hmm. Because in the same way that if you get, you know, hit by a brick in your head and then you have a dent in your skull, that's going to, you could heal all the trauma and you could heal the entities and demons and the pain of it and the grief and the all of it. But there's still going to be a freaking dent in your head that's going to require some attending, right? Similarly, certain things require that we tap in daily or as often as we're willing for them to function well, in the same way that a car engine requires oil regularly. You don't just put oil in once and you're good, right?
Right.
You change the oil.
That's how engines work. Yes, that's good. Yes.
Fuck you. God says, fuck you. No, God That's doesn't right. say that.
And we are running out of time.
All right. So I'm going to close the records now. Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you.
I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for their love and compassion, the lords of the records for their point of view, and the Holy Spirit of Light for all knowledge and healing. I ask that you return now, record keepers, Natalie Janelle Green's energy to herself, completely to herself. I ask that you return her now to her complete human wholeness. the Divine Portal and the Akashic Records for Natalie Janelle Green are now closed. I mean, the Divine Portal and the Akashic Records for Natalie Janelle Green are now closed. I mean, the Divine Portal and the Akashic Records for Natalie Janelle Green are now closed. I mean. Okay. Whew. Okay. Sometimes it takes a second for me to pull on out of there. All right, let's open this Zoom back up. There we go. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you for that.
My pleasure. That Arcturian light is so cozy. I never want to leave it. It's going to be fun, I predict, and juicy and nourishing to sit with that energy and allow it to pour through the cells of your body so you maintain the engine, right? And you don't have to have the physical pain.
I'm ready. Cool.
Standing up again.
Yeah. Didn't hurt that bad. So that was cool.
Progress.
Yeah. Different quality. A different quality in the body. Also in the back space. I felt myself, like my forward, future-oriented, go-go-go self, like dropping into the back body.
That's good.
Just trust, you know, and softening.
That's really beautiful. That's Natalie's fantastic. Email. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the sort of challenges for me with the podcast and this work we do here is like, it's like, I'm so aware inside the space of what now we're going to do this. And next time we do that. And then we're going to do that. Like I see the treatment plan, you know, but we don't do that. We just do once. And the, you know, and I let it go and I trust people take what they take or they come back or they don't or whatever. But it's like, my soul is like, yeah, but let's finish. Let's do all of it.
Yeah. Well, I will come back anytime, or I would love to work with you more. It was interesting with the guidance around like, have a regular spiritual practice, like commit to that.
Yeah.
Cause I have an altar over there, and it reminded me how sort of ignored it is right now. Like,
yeah.
I actually have like my grandfather's ashes near my altar, and it has some of that energy of like death and loss, and there's not a lot of possibility in the altar right now. So that's I think that's where I should start.
Cool. Yeah. And the link I'm going to send you, if you sit with it for 15, 20, 30 minutes a day, that'll just completely change the cells of your body.
Cool.
I love that. Yeah. Well, I think we all have to get going, unfortunately. So I'm just going to encourage us to do our work.
Do your work. Thank you so much, Natalie.
Thank you both so much.
Yeah. Thank you for being here with us. You too.
Thank you.
So lovely to see your face.
Likewise. Take good care.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Bye. What are you asking for? All of the answers? Say what? All of the answers?
Yeah, all the answers. Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you. I'm not going to do that. Let's see. What can I sing a song about now? This is for you, Desmond. When Cassidy leaves, that's when I touch my pee. I'm touching my pee and I'm making myself squee. Cassidy leaves and then I touch my pee and then I make myself squee. Wee. When Cassidy leaves. Thank you. Good night.
That was a Sounds Awesome production.